Hi there. Welcome to another Bernie Miklas show here on the YouTube channel. And we're doing well, closing in on 6,000 subscribers, but I appreciate you for subscribing. And also, if you get the word out and encourage others to subscribe, if you're just passing through, click the button to subscribe. Doesn't cost you any money, right? Today's topic will be the Cardinals offseason, and I'm taking it case by case basis. The first video I did on this earlier this week, which you can still find on the channel, is should the Cardinals trade Ryan Helsley? The answer is, given the circumstances, absolutely yes. Today's candidate for a trade, if as the Cardinals enter a soft rebuild or a rebuild, or as I like to say, whatever the hell else you want to call it, Wilson Contreras, and it's a complicated one, and we'll get to it in a minute. But before I do, I want to go back a little bit, and I promise I'll be quick. Yesterday, and thank you for all your responses, I did the video about the Cardinals and watching postseason baseball and how I miss the Cardinals being in the postseason. But from a personal, professional standpoint, I miss covering postseason baseball, and then that prompted me to relive some of my fondest memories of that great Cardinal run from 2000 through 2015. And I knew I'd be leaving something out. And I want to thank a couple of you who pointed out one of the things I didn't hit on was Michael Wacha's extraordinary 2013 postseason. I mean, he saved the Cardinals in Pittsburgh. They were trailing the Pirates 2-1 in the division round, and game four was in Pittsburgh, and Wacha pitched an absolute gem. 7 1/3, 9 strikeouts, 1 run, 1 hit. The hit was a solo home run. And he kept the Cardinals alive. They won the game by 1 run, 2-1. Wacha was incredible. Holiday hit the big, long home run. And then that got the series back to St. Louis, and Adam Wainwright took care of the rest in Game 5. He beat Gerrit Cole, who was a rookie for the Pirates at that time. So, and then we know what Wacha did in the NLCS in 2013. I mean, he out-dueled Clayton Kershaw twice to pitch the Cardinals into the World Series. He had one start in the World Series, had one pretty good start in the World Series. I think he was out of gas by then. All right. Enough of the memory lane for now. All right. Wilson Contreras, should he be a trade candidate? Well, my philosophy, overriding philosophy, is the Cardinals, they need to just explore what kind of interest there is in just about all their players. Not Mason Wynn. I'm not talking about all in like the younger guys, but I'm talking about like the people that have contracts, the people that have some veteran status and are making money, and or guys that you won't control much longer because of their contract situation, like Ryan Helsley, for example. Wilson Contreras is a very, very interesting case. And I'm not sure where to start because there's a lot there. First of all, he's 32 years old, so he'll move into age 33 at some point next season. His contract situation is this: he's 2 years into a 5-year deal worth $87.5 million. But going into 2025, basically his remaining cost is $17.5 million times three. Those will be his salary. So $52.5 million left in the final 3 years of his contract. Now that's not some untenable deal. That is not some, oh man, if you can get that off your books. And that's why I say, and I'm going to say it again, that's why this is complicated. Because let's start with the positives, okay? And there are a lot of positives. There's also some weird stuff as far as how he's used. Let's start with the positives. Now, keep in mind, you're talking about $17.5 million per year over the next three seasons. Contreras is a fantastic hitter, especially when he is playing the catcher position. The weird thing about this is that the Cardinals have used him at DH more than the Cubs did. When he was in Chicago, pardon me, the whole time he was there, he had 244 plate appearances as a DH. Two seasons with the Cardinals, he's had 268 plate appearances as a DH. And the weird thing about it, like his numbers offensively when he was a DH in Chicago for the Cubs were very good. He was like 30% above the league average offensively. In St. Louis as a DH, he, for whatever reason, my theory, and it's just a theory, is that he's an edgy guy. He's an emotional guy. He's an passionate guy. He's hard-nosed, all that stuff. Well, I think when he's catching, you know, it's kind of the whole Contreras experience. I think he just gives him a little extra edge. And that's just a theory. There's really nothing to base it on except the difference in his offensive performance when he's a catcher in the lineup compared to DH in the lineup is really strange because there's such a disparity. Just I'll give you the quick version on this. When Contreras has worked as a Cardinals catcher, when he's in the lineup as a catcher, he is way above league average. I mean, way above league average. We're talking about 48% above the league average offensively when he is a catcher. And that's 48% above league average that includes all major league hitters, not just the catcher position. But that's his when he catches. He's 48% above the league average offensively. And I'm going to get back to that. But when he's been a DH for the Cardinals, his value offensively, he's only 2% above the league average offensively. I mean, that is a huge gap. And I've never been a big believer in this idea that, okay, when, you know, he catches, he's a better hitter. Or when this guy plays third base, oh, he's a better hitter than when he plays first base. Or this guy, you know, his numbers when he plays left field, you know, really good. His DH numbers not so good. I mean, you either hit or you don't hit. Maybe there's something about catching that brings out the best in Contreras' offense. I don't know. Like I said, it is confusing. But it's there. So if you're looking at Wilson Contreras and you're looking about, well, how valuable is he to the Cardinals? We'll get into this stuff about his record when he plays and their record when he plays and all that. Although I'm not going to go into the deep dive on that, and I've done it before and I've written about it before. I'll briefly try to summarize that when we get to it. But over the last two seasons since he became a St. Louis Cardinal, of course, when Wilson Contreras is used in the lineup as a catcher, this is what he's done among major league catchers who have at least 550 plate appearances at the position, at the catcher position the last two seasons, okay? 284 batting average, that ranks third among all catchers. A 381 on-base percentage, that's first among all catchers in the majors. A 519 slugging percentage, first among catchers in the majors. 900 OPS, first among all catchers in the majors, regular catchers. His weighted runs created plus, sorry for the fancy pants, but again, it's 48% above league average offensively when he's the catcher in the lineup. That's number one among all catchers as well. And, Fangraphs has a simple little thing to look at. Let me repeat that because I think I got a glitch here. Fangraphs has a simple little thing to just measure a guy's offensive value. It's their offensive rating, and it combines batting and base running. Over the last two seasons, his first two in St. Louis, Contreras is the number one rated offensive catcher in the major leagues. Now, my point being is one of the reasons they signed him is because he would provide exceptional offensive value at the catcher position, and he has done that. And I've done some other work looking at things, and let me just tell you, like among right-handed hitters in general, he has been outstanding on a comparative basis. So you don't find catchers who hit like this. They're really difficult to come by. And that's one of the reasons why the Cardinals wanted him. I think they wanted his fire and passion as well, and that edge he would bring to things. So, first of all, you have an awful offense. You have a horrendous offense, really. Well, maybe that's too strong. It is certainly way below average, and it was horrendous with runners in scoring position. So what happens if you subtract Contreras from that? Now, there's a couple that not good. I mean, what would be the wisdom of trading away your basically your best hitter? And he has been over the last 2 years. What would be the wisdom in that? Well, a lot of it would have to do with what other teams want to offer. I can say this right now, to give away Wilson Contreras for a minimal or even just a moderate return, I think that's foolish because there's a lot there offensively. He had a couple of bad breaks last season. It amazes me still, and I'm sure I'll get this in the comment section. Thank you, Eddie Way, for commenting that somehow it's his fault that he got hurt. JD Martinez on May the 7th, swinging the bat, caught Contreras on, I believe, the left forearm. He broke it. Now, the Contreras haters like, well, that's his fault, Bernie, because he set up wrong. You know, that's one of his problems. You know, he's not very good. He just set up wrong. So that's his fault. One of the things Cardinals want him to do was improve his pitch framing, which he did. He was still slightly below average, but he was better compared to 2023. His blocking is still above average. His throwing arm rating is above average. Pitch framing last season was just not a big deal. He was like minus two, which is nothing. I mean, that's not hardly a liability. They wanted him to clean it up, which he did. He got better at it. And one of the things that they recommended, and one of the things that his own brother, William Contreras, who improved dramatically defensively when he joined the Brewers, they advised him, you got to move up a little bit. Just move up a little bit. So, again, this craziness of blaming him for trying to be a better pitch framer and following the advice and the instructions of people that are trying to help him, most notably his brother, who's really, really smart. But the Cardinals told him, you got it set up differently. He did. Boom, breaks his arm. Of course, it's his fault. And then I actually had people, and I mentioned this earlier, had people say, well, you know, his second injury, he got drilled with a fastball by Pablo Lopez in Minnesota, broke the finger, and somehow this was his fault. The Contreras haters are a different kind of lot. I got to tell you that. So Wilson Contreras, his entire major league career is crowded the plate, and I've gone through this before, and I'll do it again. He crowds the plate for a reason. It's intimidating to pitchers, and it gives him a chance to dare them to come inside, leave one over the middle, but also he can get to the outside pitch and drive outside pitches. And that's what he did last year for the Cardinals. So he hit 340 and his slugging percentage was around or a little bit above 600 on outside pitches. That's why he crowds the plate. And it works, except sometimes, yeah, you're going to get hit by a pitch. And this time the pitch caught him in a bad spot and he broke a finger. So he didn't play all that much, relatively speaking, at catcher this season because he had two extensive absences. But it's a situation where, he's made progress defensively and he's not this butcher behind the plate that the haters would have you believe. He's getting better and, more important, I think he really wants to be better and he's working and working and working at it. The guy's got a good heart. He's got good character. He's a great competitor. So, do you give up the offense? Why would you give up his offense at that position if you're going to do it? What, again, I'm going to probably repeat this a few times. First of all, it depends on what they're offered for him. All right. If it's some type of offer they can't refuse, and I don't even know what that would be, the package of like near major league ready prospects and a couple that are real good down the road prospects. I don't know. I don't know what the value would be. But you got to be careful about subtracting that bat because your offense is going to be, maybe it'll be better. Maybe depending on some of these other players getting better, it will in fact be better next year. But I think they would need Contreras in the lineup. That's just my opinion. I know many will find fault for him to justify any reason to get rid of him. That's your opinion. That's cool. I'm glad you express it here on the Bernie Show channel. If you feel that way. And if you just look at the one thing that people talk about all the time, his detractors, well, they got a losing record when he starts. I'm going to throw away 2023 because 2023 was a mess. 2023 was an absolute mess. And the Cardinals, you know, many of you or many of Cardinals fans blame the thing they go back when they want to jump all over Ollie Marmol is like, well, what he did to Tyler O'Neill was terrible. He mishandled it. He did. By calling him out in public and ripping him basically in a post-game news conference. And, oh, by the way, writing for ScoopsNetwork.com. This is before I had a YouTube channel and also talking on my old radio show at 590 The Fan KFNS. I blistered Marmol for that. I said, it's not the way you handle it. You handle it behind closed doors. But I also know that some veteran players who should be leaders on the team who are not leaders on the team went to Marmol and said, we're all tired of this guy. You got to do something. And so Marmol overreacted. All right, that's history. But if they had good clubhouse leadership, the players would have policed O'Neill on their own. That's the way TLR did it in 16 seasons in St. Louis. He wanted to cultivate a clubhouse culture where the veterans took charge. Then again, it's easy when you have Pujols and Molina and Wainwright and many, many others I can mention. So that was a mistake by Marmol. But the people that just always bring up Tyler O'Neill somehow forgot the way Marmol abandoned Contreras early in the season when the whiny, underachieving, baby, lazy Cardinals starting pitchers decided, well, you know, boy, I'm doing bad. Oh, it's his fault. It's the catcher's fault. We miss Yadi. And instead of being a strong manager in that situation, we say, listen, man, you know, we got to work with him. Yadi's gone. There's only one Yadier Molina ever. So don't hold that standard to this guy. Okay. It's not fair. Instead of sort of finessing that and calling a meeting with these pitchers and just say, look, you got to pitch better. I don't care who's catching. No. What Marmol did to Contreras was far worse than anything he did to Bro Neal, okay? And so that's why I throw out the 2023 season. John Mozeliak jumped in, and I think John Mozeliak, the stuff he said nationally to Ken Rosenthal and others, you know, blasting Contreras' defense and the way he prepares and all this stuff, and Marmol hops on that bandwagon and throws Contreras off the bandwagon and under the wheels of the bandwagon. I don't know why that was, you know, deemed okay. And when you talk about Contreras, this is the whole Contreras experience. So before his career in St. Louis was 6 weeks old or whatever, the regular season, and you forget, you know, remember all the pitchers were running away? Oh, I got a pitch in the World Baseball Classic. He was in spring training working. Where were they, right? And anybody that would say, well, Jack Flaherty was right to be one of those guys. Really? Jack Flaherty. Okay. Okay, if you say so. I disagree, obviously, because that guy's got his own issues to deal with. Anyway, instead of handling this the right way, you know, Mozeliak and Marmol piled on. And the things that Mozeliak said in particular to some of the national media people were ridiculous. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. You know why? Because John Mozeliak left out a key part of this. Little important part. Just a little teeny important part, which was you wanted him. You wanted Wilson Contreras. You recruited him. You met with him. You talked to Molina about him. You offered him 5 years and $87.5 million, and he accepted it. And then he starts catching, and it's like, oh, he's not Yadi. You're the president of baseball operations. What? How can you not know who you are getting as a catcher? Why are you committing $87.5 million to Wilson Contreras when you had all those years in Chicago, 6 years of him being a Cub, where you're playing the Cubs all the time and you should be 100% aware of whatever defensive flaws the man had? But he gets to St. Louis and all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, he's not very good defensively. Yeah, they could have told you that in Chicago. What were you watching all those times that the Cardinals and Cubs played each other? So that's why to this day, you can tell I'm really hot about this. That was reprehensible what Mozeliak did to Wilson Contreras. Because you know what? He's another one trying to change the subject. Oh, he's not very good defensively. You're the ones who scouted him and decided to pay him $87.5 million over 5 years. You wanted him. You wanted him badly. You didn't do your homework on the guy. If you're going to bring up his defense 6 weeks, less than 6 weeks into his career, right? You failed. The front office failed. Marmol, to an extent, failed. You knew what you were getting into. You knew this guy was not an elite defensive catcher. He is a below-average catcher. Some of his weaknesses are overstated, but he is a below-average defensive catcher. But the bat, the offense, as I gave you the numbers, in 2 years as a Cardinal, when he's in the lineup as a catcher, he's the best-hitting catcher in the major leagues. So what the way they mishandled this from the beginning, I don't want to hear anything about Wilson Contreras in terms of like, well, you know, in 2023, you know, when he was in the lineup, they had a terrible losing record. I don't want to hear that, okay? It's just – that's just being someone who wants to just take a few more cheap shots at Contreras and not even trying to be fair here. They undermine their own catcher, their own free agent signing, the pitchers, the manager, and the president of baseball operations. Shameful. It still is. I still get hot about it. All right. Well, people point out this year when Contreras got hurt the first time, you know, the Cardinals had a winning record when he was out. I'm going to give you the very short version. I went down and I looked at the block of games. You know, he was out from May the 9th to June 23rd, I believe. And they did have a winning record. But you know why they had a winning record? Is because they had five guys in their lineup over that time who were hitting comfortably above average. So in other words, the offense kicked in. And it wasn't because Contreras was hurt, because he was one of their best offensive players. But in other words, the other guys did their jobs. Imagine that. The other guys actually performed up in a way that they're capable of performing. And the Cardinals scored more runs during that time because other guys were doing their job. So the second time around, you know, if you look, yeah, he got hurt on the 23rd of August. I believe he got hit in the finger. They had a winning record, but it was nothing special. It was nothing, you know, to distinguish anything about it where you say, oh, wow. And the other thing is Pedro Pages is a much better catcher defensively than Wilson Contreras is. You just look at his framing and his blocking. You look at his catcher ERA. He's just better. But that doesn't mean Contreras is, you know, useless or he's horrific behind the plate. He's not. He's below average, but getting better. But it's funny how this works because when, you know, Pages filled in there and played a lot, and I really think highly of Pages and his defense, right? What did we hear? At least what I heard, and again, I know that this is the loudest among us, but I heard, like, well, this guy can't hit. You know, they need to have more offense behind the plate. They need to play Herrera. You know what? I agree that Herrera needs to play more, and this is another reason about Contreras we'll get to in a minute. But I heard a lot of whining and griping about, well, Pages' offense, he's just marginal. Well, if you want a great defensive catcher, he's really good. He's got a chance to be great because that was his rep throughout the entire minor leagues. Pitchers loved working with him because he's got that sixth sense or whatever. Okay, well, you can't have it both ways. If you want the defense-first catcher rather than the offense-first catcher, you can't complain about the defense-first catcher not producing much offensively, and you can't complain about the best hitting catcher in the majors the last 2 years, not being average, not even average off the behind the plate, right? You can't have it both ways. I'm sorry, my friends. You can, but I'm going to call you out on it, okay? Ivan Herrera does have an exciting upside offensively. There is no doubt about that. But he really needs to work on his defensive skills. And this gets back to the Cardinals player development system and the fact they never had Chaim Bloom, thank you. Because Chaim Bloom was asked to do a report on the Cardinals farm system and their player development system. And he gave Bill DeWitt his report. And the report was massive in size. Like, everything's wrong with what they're doing down there. And one of the things I'm told Bloom made a huge deal of, and he did it diplomatically. He's not going to write a report saying, Bill, you were really stupid. They didn't have a catching instructor. And so Ivan Herrera came to the big leagues not really fully prepared to be as good as he could be defensively. He was still very raw. He got a little better. They never had a catching instructor anywhere in the minors. And this is an organization that also has a lot of good catching prospects. Jimmy Crooks, who was at Double A this year, has got a chance to be really something. I can't comment on his defense because I'm not familiar with the plus and minuses. But they have all these catchers, and Leo Bernal's another one in the minors, and they don't have an instructor. So Herrera, in effect, never got a fair shake because they plopped him in the major leagues before he was ready to be what he could be as a defensive catcher in the major leagues. He just wasn't. He was young, and he just wasn't prepared. There's time to do that. And that would be another reason why, if you're looking for reasons why, if you can get a good return, you have to give it some thought for Wilson Contreras, because I just mentioned, you got a really good defensive catcher in Pajes. The pitchers love throwing to him. Does not mean they hate Contreras. I think they really like Contreras' fire and his leadership and everything else. But Pajes is more of a defensive specialist. That's why they're called defensive specialists. And the other guy, Herrera, has a good bat. And in fact, if you go to Fangraphs and just click on Cardinals, you just look at his wins above replacement and where he ranked with limited playing time. Because his offense, even though the power needs to be ratcheted up, boy, he hits for average. He takes walks. Herrera's got a lot of potential offensively. And I assume they're actually, they're actually going to teach him how to catch better. Imagine that. How's that for a thought, huh? What do you think? Good idea? Yeah, good idea. Anyway, like I like to say, where did all the smart people go? Where did they go? I'm talking about the Cardinals organization. Where did they go? Oh, my Lord. Anyway. So they also have Jimmy Crooks on the way. He'll be at AAA next year. He's got a really good bat. I know that. And he got people in the organization pretty excited. So there's another one coming away. So you're going to have more catchers when you know to do with. You could repurpose Contreras as your DH and trust that if he's a full-time DH or close to it, that he would perform better as a DH. When he was in the lineup as a catcher last season, the Cardinals were like, two games under 500, but the thing that's interesting about that is, like, it's really hard for me anyway to stitch together those games because of the two extended absences. One of the things about being a catcher and being there all the time, the larger the sample size, the better. That's true of all catchers. I think more than anything, if you want to say, well, the Cardinals pitched better when Pajes was behind the plate. They did. He had a catcher ERA of 4.20. Contreras was more like 4.65. And Herrera was a little bit behind Contreras. But without getting into the details, and again, I wrote about this, I looked at a case-by-case basis. There are certain Cardinals pitchers who did very, very well throwing to Wilson Contreras, including Sonny Gray, and there were others. So I think the catcher ERA thing can be, misinterpreted or improperly applied. I don't think that it is a conclusively tell-all stat where you say, well, that's it. That's the answer. That proves everything. I don't think it does, especially when a guy was behind the plate last year 51 times because of injuries and because they were putting him at DH so often. When he was a Cubs DH, again, he small sample, 268 plate appearances. I think there were 248 player, but whatever I told you earlier. He was 30% above average as a DH. Can that happen again if the Cardinals just say, look, we want you to be DH most of the time. We believe in you, but you're 30, you know, you're going to be 33. And we've got all these young catchers that need to play. And so we love your bat. We love the fire you bring to the team. We love who you are, but we're going to ask you to DH a lot more. I would have to think his numbers at that position would get better once he sort of knows the role and what the plan is. And I know that because he's a really good hitter, and it shouldn't matter whether he's a DH or he's behind the plate. Good hitters hit. I think it's kind of an aberration how ineffective, relatively speaking, Contreras has been as a DH when used there by the Cardinals. But I do think something's got to give here. If they're not going to trade Contreras, or they don't like what they're being offered for Contreras, well, and you still want to accommodate other catchers, and you still want to keep Herrera instead of like trading him, for example, or trading Pages, for example. These are just hypotheticals. Well, unless you're comfortable trading one of these guys, Herrera is going to be in the catching mix. But then what about when Jimmy Crooks is ready? See, it's like, here we go again. The Cardinals love their log jams, don't they? For a while, they had 27,000 outfielders, didn't know how to evaluate any of them, and made mistakes in who they decided to play. They got 27,000 outfielders, and now they have – I'm being facetious and embellishing and exaggerating on purpose. Now they got 20,000 catchers. Only the Cardinals do this kind of thing. Probably other teams do it too, but I'm just saying it just never ends. Can't wait for 2026 to get here. Anyway, that's what I'm thinking about. If you want to ease the logjam, and you like what you have at catcher, and you like what you have coming, it makes some sense to trade him if it's a good offer. But on the other hand, be very careful, because the last two seasons, I'm going to repeat, when Wilson Contreras was in the lineup as a catcher, he hit 284. He had a 381 on base percentage. He slugged 519. He had a 900 OPS, and he was 48% above the league average offensively. And in 725 at bats, he had 35 homers, 44 doubles, and 103 RBIs. So do you really want to take him out of that catcher spot when you're getting such a lead offense at that position? That's why I said it's complicated. And people who want to simplify this and turn it into a, you know, 1 + 2 = 3 thing, it's not as simple as some of you, or some people, not you specifically, but it's not that simple. They have a lot of decisions to make here. And that leads us to another thing. Do you really trust John Mozeliak to be the one who trades Wilson Contreras? Do you really want that? Same guy who signed him to a 5-year, $87.5 million contract, and about a month into the season, maybe 5 weeks, whatever it was, he's ripping his defense when he's talking to Ken Rosenthal? Really? John Mozeliak, who saw Wilson Contreras play for the Cubs all those years in the division, arch rival, you know, he didn't know what he was signing. And now you want him to trade the guy. You want him to trade... If you're not sold on the idea, even though the facts tell you he is the best hitting catcher in baseball the last 2 years, if you don't want to buy that, you could at least settle. Well, unless you're just a flat out hater, because you'll say, oh no, but he was mediocre. He's mediocre offensively. I'm just kidding. That's a straw man thing I'm doing there. That's wrong. I apologize. I can't help myself sometimes. I don't trust Mo to be the one to pull this off. And even if he gets advice from Chaim Bloom about prospects that might be offered, maybe that would be the way to do it. But I'm just not sure. I just don't trust the situation. And I think that he could provide good value as a DH, not as much value as a catcher, because you don't find catchers who hit like this. That's why the Cardinals wanted him, until they realize, oh, wait a minute. What's his defense, huh? Yeah, he had 6 years to scout that in Chicago. The other thought, and I'll leave you with this, and I think some of you have suggested this. Now, I'm always a little nervous about changing positions too many times, you know? There's some guys who can do it. Tommy Edman, you can play him anywhere. Brendan Donovan, you can pretty much play him anywhere. I wouldn't want him to be like a regular shortstop, but they have their shortstop. But I like guys you can move around, but you move them around because they've shown that they can, you know, handle a variety of positions. But some of you, and I've thought about it myself, you know, if Paul Goldschmidt is gone, which is a virtual certainty, they've told him, according to Katie Wu, that, you know, they're not going to offer him a contract. Well, you got Alec Burleson to play first base, and he's a platoon guy. He does not hit left-handed pitching. So against right-handed hitters, you would have Burleson as your first baseman. What about having Contreras play first base? Not only against lefties, because Wilson Contreras can actually hit right-handed pitching pretty well, and I should have looked that up. If I find that my assumption is wrong, I'll cover it in the next video briefly. But what about if Contreras, and the time to do this is now or soon, to get him training to become a first base? I don't know what the defense would be like. I don't know if he would be a huge negative at first base. I don't know if he would be average, slightly below average. But a team that doesn't have enough offense, I'm just saying, be very careful before you trade that offense away. Maybe there are some solutions or alternatives you should look at. Anyway, that's about all I got. I hope I didn't leave anything out. I've had 36 minutes, but tell me how you think. I appreciate your comments. I tease you for being Contreras haters. Look, I got to keep my energy level up, so I got to get fired up about stuff. Now, my energy level's fine. You know what I'm saying. Anyway, let me just shut up and get out of here. I'm going to try to get back. Yesterday, I broke a promise. I said I have another video. It was kind of a strange day, a lot of things going on, so I didn't have a chance to pull up and do it. But I'm going to try to maybe get back later and jump on something else. Thank you all again for your support. Very, very much appreciate it. Even the people that we disagree with. Disagreement is fine. It's good. It's healthy. I always learn something from it, most of the 98% of the time. You all have a good day. Thanks for watching The Bernie Show.